This is just a basic thing on emotions, a basic lesson on emotions. Something I think we all deal with. And I wanted to do something that was relevant to everybody. And everybody here has emotions. We all deal with them. We're all not exactly sure how to handle them sometimes. We're all, you know, subject to them. But yet they're God-given. And so we want to look at them. We want to look at how to handle them, what we do when they arise in our life and when we get into an emotional problem. Now imagine for a minute, let's say you're driving to Oklahoma City. You've got to get there. You've got to get there at 8 in the morning. You've got a job interview. You're driving up to Oklahoma City. It's early morning, rush hour traffic, and you realize your oil light comes on in your car. You think, oh, huh, let's see, my oil light, what do I do about that? So we have several options. What do you do? Well, you can start pulling wires from down underneath the wheel and see if you can get the light to come off. You can pull into a service station and maybe ask that guy to pull some wires and see if that light comes off. Or you can take the screwdriver out from underneath the seat and just pound on the dash and see if you can get it to go off. But all those really aren't addressing the problem, because that light's trying to tell you something. What's that light trying to tell you? Well, it's trying to tell you that there's something within you that's going on. I'm sorry, there's something in the car that's going on. Just like emotions, yeah, it may be that too. And it's the same way with emotions. Our emotions tell us there's something going on inside us. Just like that oil light tells you there's something going on inside the engine of your car. So I want to look at what those are. The first thing here is that emotions, then, are messengers. They tell us something. Just like that oil light. And when you have these emotions, you don't just want to beat on yourself emotionally or mentally to try and get those emotions to quit. Just like that engine needs help, you may need some help. So what are they messengers of? Well, emotions tell us what we believe and what we think. There's something going on inside your mind. For example, let's say your birthday's coming up and you've got an expectation that, oh, mom and dad are going to buy me a new car for my birthday. That'd be really cool. So mom and dad, you know, buy me this car. I'm real excited. My birthday comes and mom and dad don't get me a car. There's no car. So what do I feel? Maybe kind of down, depressed, upset, that kind of thing. Well, why? There's something going on in here, and what is that saying? I had an expectation for a new car, and, you know, instead I got a wood block with my name, you know, made out of wood. And it was real nice, but it wasn't the car that I quite expected. We've all had gifts like that. The next thing about emotions is they're morally neutral. Now, a lot of us think, well, there's good emotions and there's bad emotions. Happiness is a good emotion. And anger, well, that's a bad emotion. But I don't think that's what the Bible teaches us about emotions. I think the Bible teaches we're morally neutral. For example, happiness can be a sin. A lot of you think, well, what? Happiness? Happiness isn't a sin. Happiness is a good thing. Well, happiness could be a sin if, let's say, you're in the band and you really wanted to be first chair saxophone, but you got second chair saxophone. But then the girl who had first chair saxophone, I don't know, tripped on her way to class and busted her mouth open, can't be first chair saxophone. Well, so if you're really happy about the misfortune of that girl, that could be sin. But some people are happy at the misfortunes of others, and in that case, I think happiness could be a sin. Happiness itself isn't a sin. The emotion of happiness isn't a sin, but it's what we do with it. Same way with anger. I'll get to that one here in just a sec when we talk about Jesus. But emotions express God's character. Exodus 20, verse 5, says that God's a jealous God. Well, a lot of us think, well, jealousy is a sin. It's wrong for me to ever be jealous. Well, if God's jealous and jealousy is a sin, that creates a problem, doesn't it? That can't be right. But God is a jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God's also loving. See that in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. God says he is love. So we can see that emotion. And we see Jesus' anger. Now here's where I want to touch on anger. This is when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. And in John 2, he talks about how he not only just flipped over a few tables, but he made a whip like a cat of nine tails kind of thing and just started cracking this whip and driving people out of there. Because Jesus was angry that they had turned the temple of his father into this, you know, five and dime store. They were selling all this junk, you know, and Jesus got mad about that. Well, anger is a sin, and Jesus got angry. There's a problem. Because Jesus, I don't think Jesus sinned. Ephesians 4:26, back up there where it says motions are morally neutral, says be angry and sin not. So again, we can be angry but not sin. For example, let's say somebody offends me and it makes me angry. I think, oh, you know, this is an angering thing. Well, I have a choice to make when I'm angry. I can sin in that anger and try and get back at them, or I can respond in love and not sin, yet I still may be angry, may be frustrated at what's happened. But again, that doesn't mean that I'm sinning just because I'm angry. Jesus also, when Lazarus died, says Jesus wept. For those of you working on scripture memory, I suggest John 11:35. Emotions also help confirm direction. But they shouldn't be totally relied upon. You know, sometimes when you're going through life, you think about something, you have a choice to make, maybe choosing your major, talking about who you're going to marry. There's all kinds of choices to make. And you think, well, it just feels good. You know, I had a sense of peace. I had a feeling of peace about it. Again, emotions can confirm direction, but they probably should be the last thing to confirm our direction. We want God's Word to be our primary trust. For example, let's say a girl's going to get married, and she said, well, I feel really good about it. You know, it feels really good. Well, mate, what if the guy's not a Christian, and she is? Well, I had a sense of peace. You know, so that's good, right? Well, again, that contradicts God's Word. God's Word needs to be our primary trust. So we want to look to that and not necessarily disregard our feelings, but that shouldn't be the first thing that helps us make those decisions. We want to make sure that we take things before God's Word, line things up with God's Word to see if that's really true, see if that's right. The second thing, then, is emotions can be messy. First thing is that they're messengers. They tell us something that's going on with what we think and believe. Next, they're messy. You guys probably know this. This is not news to you. Emotions can be messy. Well, how can they be messy? Emotions can be messy when they seem more true to us than God's Word. In the same situation where the girl who's a Christian wants to marry the guy who's a non-Christian, and that goes against God's Word, it's probably not the best choice for her to make at that time. Well, she says, well, I just got to go with what I feel. That's the most true thing to me. And see, a lot of us are kind of conditioned that way. We're in a very feeling-oriented society. I don't know if you guys have realized that or not, but America is very feeling-oriented. We do what we feel. But again, that can get us into a lot of trouble when we disregard God's Word and we just go with how I feel. You know, you can feel lots of things, but that doesn't mean they're right. We want to take those things before God and ask Him, line those up with His Word and see if, does this violate something? Is this not what God would want? Is this something that's good but maybe not the best? And they need to hold out and wait and see what God says. So emotions can be messy when they're more true to us than God's Word. Emotions also can become messy when we seek emotional satisfaction over God's will. And when we do this, we're allowing emotions to be the final authority in our lives. What do you think Jesus would have done at the cross if he did what he felt like? I don't know that he necessarily felt like being hung up on a tree. But he followed God's will. He said, not my will, but yours, Lord. Jesus' final authority was his relationship with God and what he thought God would have him do, not just how he felt. Because I'm sure there was some fear, I'm sure there was some uncertainty on Jesus' part. And so again, Jesus didn't just follow his feelings. He really followed what he thought God wanted. The final authority in his life was God's Word. And we all have a final authority. Something is our final authority. Every one of us in this room, we've got something that You know, it comes to that point, and that's what we make the decision on. And for a lot of us, I think it's our feelings. I know it is for me a lot. I think, well, it just felt okay. It felt right, so I better do it. That's probably the best thing. Well, if I'm disregarding God's word, not asking God, not seeking God, not lining it up with his word and asking him if that's his will, there could be a problem. Here's some examples of this. Christian says, I don't feel close to God, so he must be mad at me. You guys ever feel like that? Anybody ever feel like that? Psalm 119, 151 says, the Lord your God is near. So what if I don't feel like God's near? Is he still near? Based on what? Based on God's word, he's near. Doesn't mean, you know, whether I feel it or not, doesn't make it real. Doesn't make it true. God's word says it, so it's true. So we have a decision to make that we're going to decide to follow God's word rather than just what we feel. Joel 2:13 says the Lord is slow to anger, but abounds in love. He doesn't get angry with us. All his anger was poured out on Christ, but a lot of times we think, well, God's mad at me. I don't know. You know, I had my quiet time. I don't really feel like God said anything to me. And maybe he's just mad because I sinned the other day. And, you know, I don't feel like he's close, so he must be mad. He's holding himself off. He's backed up and waiting for me to get my act together. And then he'll kind of come around and maybe he'll bless me with something and I'll know he's back. Well, that's not biblical. That's just our feelings. We need to be careful not to let Satan use our emotions against us, because he'll do that. Satan will come after you and he'll try and trick you and make you feel like God's not there, so maybe he's mad, so it must be something I did, so I need to correct that, I need to get my act together and then go back to God. Well, that's not biblical at all. Jesus wants us to come to him as we are, and he'll clean up our act. It's not something I do. I don't get it all together and then come to Christ. I come to Christ and then he gets it together for me. To me, that's kind of exciting. I don't know about you guys. Next two here kind of go together. It says, I don't feel guilty, so it must be okay. Maybe in a dating relationship, you carry things too far physically beyond what you probably should at this stage if you're not married. And you say, well, I don't really feel guilty. Felt okay, so, that's okay. I'm not really convicted of it. Well, it may be that you haven't come to a point in your life where you've made some decisions to follow God's word and to seek him and to obey and that kind of thing. So maybe you don't feel guilty, but that doesn't necessarily mean everything's all right. And also, the second one there, it feels good, so I'll go ahead and do it. We do this a lot. Well, feels good, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It feels right, so I'll just go ahead and do it. Proverbs 14:12 says that there's a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. So again, just because something feels right or seems right doesn't necessarily mean that it is. Could lead to death, could lead to some serious consequences. But if we're just depending on our feelings and that's it, well, we could end up being in trouble. The next thing is that emotions are manageable. That's good news. Talk about how messy they are, but they are manageable. They're God-given. God has emotions. Jesus had emotions, so we know they're not wrong. It's not good and bad ones. It's just how we handle them. So they're manageable. We can handle them. They're not going to sink us. So there's a little acrostic here I'm going to teach you guys called READ. You guys know you're going to learn to read tonight. For the emotionally illiterate, I guess. But so what does READ stand for? First thing is to recognize your emotions. Figure out what they are. That's not too hard. If you're mad, you know it. If you're happy, you know it. If you're down, all that stuff. It's pretty easy to recognize your emotions. It's not really that confusing. There's times it can be confusing. Times you can get depressed and kind of not sure and you're uncertain about some things. And There's maybe something good about your circumstance, but yet something bad, so you kind of feel good, but kind of not. So there's sometimes that those can be kind of confusing. But for the most part, you're going to be able to recognize what you're feeling. That's not the mystery. That's not the hard part here. The first E in read stands for express your emotions to God. Again, this isn't that hard for us. But for some people, we do have a problem with that. For example, some people feel really, really not too good about telling God that they're mad at Him. You think, well, He's going to hit me with lightning or something, so I better not say anything. You know, God's vengeful or something like that. And so He's going to get me if I tell Him honestly how I feel. Well, that's, again, that's not what God's Word says. And we can be totally and completely honest with God about how we feel, whether we're angry with Him, happy with Him, unsure what He's doing. We can tell Him those things. He's not out to get us. He loves us. He's on our side. But we want to be honest with God. You don't play games with God. Don't get to a point where you think you can trick God. You know, that's kind of arrogant, I think. We're not going to fool God. He's not going to come to the point where He's like, oh, huh, well, He seems pretty happy, so I guess that's pretty good. Yeah. That's not the way God works. Don't think you can fool God. Be honest with God. Tell Him exactly how you feel. Now, there's two directions to avoid here when you're expressing your emotions. The first one is turning your emotions inward. Or denying your feelings. Now, stereotypically, I don't know if this is true. It's not exactly true in my life, but this seems to be the one that guys tend to struggle with, maybe more than girls, is they'll just kind of clam up. They have a lot of emotions. It's not that guys aren't emotionally in tune with their emotions, but they just stuff them down. So they keep them all inward. This is what I call the walking time bomb. You're just waiting to go off because it's going to happen. At some point, one point or another, tick, 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 kaboom, all over somebody, probably somebody you love, probably somebody who's close to you, you're going to explode with this stuff all over them, and it might be years of pent-up emotion, pent-up anger. And it's going to come out on somebody who, you know, accidentally stepped on your foot on the way into Vespers, and it could get real ugly. So, you know, but it could be just one little thing like that that sets you off, and you didn't expect to do that, but all those emotions over time, if you deny them, I don't feel this, I feel angry, I feel upset, I feel cheated, but I'm just going to hold it in. Now what this can do, it can lead to illness. You can get physically sick. You know, our bodies respond to what our minds do. You ever have a dream where you're falling off the top of a building, and then you wake up, but your heart's pounding, and you're sweating, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, it's a dream. You know, and then you fall out of bed. But no. But again, your body responds to what's going on in your mind and what's going on with your emotions. And so if you've got these emotions that are building and building and building, and your mind keeps mulling that over, and it's not going to go away, and you begin to think on it and thrive on it, and there's some real deep, whether it's anger or hatred or jealousy or bitterness, whatever it is, it's going to build and build and build. Well, just like in that dream, how your body responds to what's going on up here and when you're falling, it's the same way. Your body may physically become sick. You may develop ulcers. You may have some stomach problems. I don't know. There's lots of things that happen. I've had friends who that happens to. They have all these emotional problems, they have family problems and things, and they just go through these emotions, and rather than turning them up to God, they just keep it all in. And before long, you know, well, I've got a kidney stone, or, you know, I've got ulcers, and I need to go to the doctor, and it's costing me lots of money. Well, I think some of that can be avoided if we take these things to God, rather than just pulling them all down. Again, it can lead to outbursts, where you just explode onto somebody for some little thing, but it has to do with a whole lot of other stuff that happened that was none of their business. But they did one thing and it set you off. It can also lead just to destructive behavior. You can kind of fill in the blank, you know, what your destructive behavior can be like. But again, it can be a number of things. you can start driving wildly and raging down the road on the way to the BSU, and you know, you run over a mailman and whoops, you know, that's kind of destructive behavior. But you were doing all that because you were so mad and you just kept it in. You had to, you know, drive like a wild maniac, and there you are, you know, running over, you know, civil servants. So the second thing you want to be careful to avoid is to turn emotions outward. Now, stereotypically, girls are good at this. Just like guys are kind of good at that other one. And I see lots of girls kind of smiling and nodding out there. Oh, yeah. Tell all my friends what I feel. You know. And that's not uncommon. The danger here, though, is it can lead to things like gossip, stuff like that. For example, and I'm not saying that guys don't do this too, because guys really do. Well, let's say, girl, somebody offends you, and the first thing you want to do is run and tell your friends. And probably, so they'll agree with you, and then you can sit there and badmouth how wrong the person is, and, oh, she's just so catty, and I just can't stand her, you know. I can't believe she'd do something like that. So you guys agree, and you kind of bash her for a little while, and then you feel better. Then you go get a pizza. The problem is that's kind of linked to selfish ambition. We want to be careful of that. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Well, again, I don't think that's really practicing that verse in your life if you're turning these emotions outward. And guys do that too. But I know from talking to my wife about stuff like this, you know, she's my link to the feminine world, that this goes on with girls. They're real good at expressing those. And we hear a lot of times, you know, girls say, oh, I wish he'd just open up with his emotions. You know, so then we can have our own little thing where he tells me about how he gets all mad at somebody, and we can badmouth that person together. And I wish he'd do that like all my girlfriends did, but he just doesn't. So again, that's not, neither one of those directions are right. Also, it's that idea of, it's just, I'm going to get it off my chest. I got to tell somebody. So you go and you run to somebody, your best friend, and tell them how mad you are, or you know, how upset you are, or how excited you are even. And some of those things are good, but again, you want to be careful to not just express those to people. Also, remember we talked about how our emotions tell us what's going on inside our minds, about what we think and what we feel. If we just take that to people, if we just take our emotions to people and do that outward thing, tell everybody everything, run to find all our friends and tell them, there's not really any renewing. Again, back to that situation with the two girls where one gets offended and, you know, they get together and they, you know, gossip about this girl and call her names and kind of get all that stuff off their chest and feel a lot better. Well, there's no renewing of the mind there. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about renewing your mind. Well, just getting together and, you know, going through the situation piece by piece, kind of getting it off your chest, well, once it's out there and you've got it off your chest, well, you're done with it. You're not exactly renewing your mind. You're just kind of, you know, airing your dirty laundry to somebody. And then you feel better. You think, oh, well. Again, that's seeking emotional satisfaction maybe over God's word. So we want to renew our minds. And when we have these negative emotions, we want to take those to God and renew them. Third letter, is to evaluate your emotions. What do my feelings tell me about my thoughts and beliefs? We've recognized what the emotion is. You've expressed it to God. And a lot of us stop there. A lot of us are pretty good at the first two. When I tell God how I feel, you know, whatever I feel, I'm honest with God. Even when I'm angry at Him for some reason, I tell Him. Well, then we stop there. And you're like, okay, well, I told God about it, so He'll have to deal with it now. Again, we don't want to just stop at the first E. It doesn't spell a word. Only a little acrostic. Then it's also only doing it, you know, halfway. So you want to make sure that you go on to the second and you evaluate what it's telling you about what's going on up here. I feel this way, so there's something up here. There's an unmet need, or there's something going on in my mind that's coming out in my emotions, because my emotions are messengers and they're telling me about what's going on up here. And you want to begin to think, what is my final authority? Is it God's word or my emotions? It comes down to those two. Am I going to believe what I feel in this situation, or am I going to trust God's word And trusting God's word doesn't necessarily mean that those feelings are going to go away. But as you recognize them, as you express them to God and evaluate and line them up, you may even want to take a piece of paper and write down, okay, here's what I feel, and here's what God's word says. Make two columns. Here's what I feel, here's what God's word says. And if they're in total contradiction with one another, you've got a choice to make. And that's when D comes in, when you decide to replace thinking and behavior with God's instruction and truth. So you want to begin to make choices. And again, this exercise I think is practical. If you'll sit down the next time one of these things, you know, some event happens that sets your emotions going one way or the other, to really sit down and say, okay, God, here's how I feel. I'm telling you about it. I'm being totally honest with you. And I'm going to look at it. Here's my emotion. And here's what your word says. Huh. Funny. My emotion is telling me, God, that you're mad at me and you're upset with me and you're real distant from me because I don't feel your nearness. But yet, your word says that you're near. And your word says you're not ever mad at me. You're not disappointed in me. But you love me. You're still working on me. And you're conforming me to the image of Christ. You've got a choice to make. Am I going to continue to believe my emotions? Am I going to continue to walk in that? Or am I going to choose God's truth of righteousness? And am I going to follow His instructions? And am I going to really begin to look to God for answers? I've got an example for you of Reed in Scripture. And it's Psalm 55. We look at David. If you guys will turn to Psalm 55, we'll kind of go through this. But Reed is a very biblical example. We see it in David's life. David is an emotional person. If you ever want to look at somebody who's completely honest with God and his emotions, read some of the Psalms. Look at some of the events in David's life and then see what he wrote about them. See what he said to God. Begin to study those and see how David handled that. Because he's an example of an emotional person in the Bible. I don't know if there's any other more emotional person in the Bible than David. I'm not going to read the entire psalm, but I'm going to pick out some verses here and show you each step of Reed. So recognize the first R, the R there, the first letter. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 55. It says, hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. Well, what's David just done? He's identified what he's feeling. I'm distraught. Then down in verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Well, what's David doing here? He's identifying what's going on. He's recognizing his emotions. Now express. Express your emotions to God. Well, where does David do this? Hop back up to verse 1 there. Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my plea. Who's he going to? He's going to God. Again, verse 2, it says, hear me and answer me. Again, you can see he's talking to God. Verse 16. It says, but I call to God, and the Lord saves me. And then verse 17 says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. So we can see that David is expressing his emotions to God. He's not turning it inward and festering and letting it boil. He's not running to everybody he knows and telling them about it and trying to get their help. He's going straight to God, and he's expressing his emotions with God. The third step then, David evaluates his emotions. Verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. In the first part of verse 23 says that you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their day. So what's he done there? He's in this psalm, David's fearing death. He talks about his enemies. He's distraught. He says, the horrors overcome me. And yet, as he takes that to God, he realizes the truth in God's word, that I can cast all my cares on God, and he'll care for me. He says that God, you'll bring down the wicked. So he begins to see that God is righteous. He begins to evaluate what he's feeling, which is fear. He's distraught. But then he's beginning to see God destroys the unrighteous. God destroys the wicked. So can you see that there? That he's feeling this, but he begins to see the truth. And finally, David makes a decision. The very last part of verse 23 says, but as for me, I trust in you. So he's come full circle. He starts off saying, listen to me, God. What am I going to do? I'm distraught. I'm horrified. He tells God all about it. And he begins to line that up in God's word. He says, here's what I'm feeling, but here's what's true about God. Now I have a choice to make. And in Psalm 55, David makes the right choice. He says, but as for me, I trust in you. Father, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for giving us emotions so that we can feel so many different things while we're here on earth. And at the same time, God, we don't want to let our emotions dictate our lives to us. We don't want to be subject to them. We're subject to you because you're our Lord. And so, Father, I ask that you'd help us to turn things over to you emotionally, to not just let them fester inside of us, to not let bitterness take root in our lives because we turned those inward and didn't turn them to you. And yet, God, we don't want to just sin by gossiping with others, by turning those outward and spilling them all over everybody else when our emotions are beginning to get the best of us. Father, we want to take those to you. And Father, you can handle them. You're big enough to do that. And God, Lord, we realize that as we follow you in faith, sometimes our feelings don't line up yet. Sometimes feelings are the caboose of the train. But Father, even when our feelings don't line up, we can still make the choice to follow your word in truth. And I thank you that you've given us your word as a guide, that we can believe you. And Father, I thank you that your word is the most truest thing we have to hold to, not our emotions. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you that you've given us your word. I thank you for Christ and that he can take all our emotions upon himself. And Father, help us to make that decision. When the time comes, when our emotions are telling us one thing and Satan would have us do one thing, but Lord, you'd have us do the right thing. You would have us trust in you like David did. I pray we'd make that right decision. Thank you, Father, for this time tonight, for allowing me to share. In Jesus' name, amen.